Thanks for downloading this episode from shippingpodcasts.com from Coracle Online. In this episode, Henry Sammut talks to us about carriers' limitation of liability.
Hello, my name is Henry. I'm here to talk to you about carriers' limitation to liability under the Hague-Visby rules. Contracts of affreightment are commonly drawn as charter parties, bills of lading, and non-negotiable seaway bills. As with charter parties, the merchant and ship owner are relatively free to negotiate their own terms of limitation to liability, subject to common law and statute. For example, in absence of any express clauses protecting the ship owner from liability, a ship owner is nonetheless not liable to damage incurred to cargo resulting from inherent vice of goods or deviation to save life, as these are some of the very few common law exceptions to liability available to a carrier. In English law, Carriage of Goods by Sea Act 1971 gives statutory force to the Hague-Visby rules to apply to bills of lading and seaway bills. The Hague-Visby rules apply by force of law to bills of lading and seaway bills when these documents are in the hands of a merchant who is not a contracting party to a charter party. By contrast, the charterer is solely bound by the terms of the charter party, as the charter party itself is the contract of carriage. The bill of lading in the charterer's hands is a document of title and a receipt for the goods shipped on board. Therefore, when a charter party is drawn and entered into, no contractual nexus exists between the charterer and the ship owner by virtue of the bill of lading. The Hague-Visby rules do not apply to shipments of live animals, deck cargo, or particular goods. The Hague-Visby rules obliges the carrier to exercise due diligence to make the vessel seaworthy before and at the beginning of the voyage, and to properly man, equip, and supply the ship, as well as to properly and carefully load, handle, stow, carry, keep, care for, and discharge the goods carried. The obligation of due diligence on the carrier is non-delegable and personal to him. The carrier cannot avoid liability by engaging a third party. Therefore, the carrier is still in breach of due diligence resulting from negligence of his agents or servants or other third parties. If the contractor is negligent, the carrier would be liable for the contractor's negligence. The carrier cannot defend himself by proving that he employed a reputable specialist. Furthermore, the carrier cannot defend himself by claiming that he does not have the skill nor the expertise to check the work done by the third party. The Hague-Visby rules imply that in case of cargo damage, which is a breach of contract, the initial burden is on the party alleging the breach to prove unseaworthiness of the vessel. The burden then shifts to the ship owner to show that he has discharged his duty by exercising due diligence. Accordingly, the cargo owner raises a prima facie case against the carrier by producing a clean bill of lading or seaway bill to show that the cargo was shipped in good order and condition but arrived damaged. The ship owner can meet this prima facie case by relying on one of the defences in the Hague-Visby rules, for example, perils at sea. The cargo owner then tries to displace the carrier's defence by proving that the vessel was unseaworthy before and at the beginning of the voyage, and most importantly, that unseaworthiness caused the loss or damage. Therefore, if the vessel's unseaworthiness was not a cause that gave rise to the loss or damage of cargo, the carrier can still escape liability. If the cargo owner fails to prove unseaworthiness, the carrier can rely on the 17 defences in the Hague-Visby rules. On the other hand, if unseaworthiness is proven against the carrier due to breach of due diligence on his part or his servant's part or his agent's part, the carrier loses the right to the defence in the Hague Visbureaus, and the carrier is liable. However, the carrier is not liable to the full value of cargo, for the Hague Visbureaus allowed the carrier to limit his liability. In absence of ad valorem freight, the limitation to liability available to the carrier is SDR 666.67 per unit, or SDR 2 per kilo of cargo, whichever is the greater. One SDR is about 96 British pence, just under £1. And for the record, SDR stands for Special Drawing Rights. The SDR is an international reserve asset created by the International Monetary Fund. It was created in 1969 to supplement its members' countries' official reserves. Its value is based on a basket of key international currencies, which are US dollar, pound sterling, euro, Japanese yen. And SDRs can be exchanged for freely usable currencies. The carrier can negotiate an increase to his exposure to limitation of liability. Therefore, the carrier ends up paying a higher amount of compensation. This is usually done against payment of ad valorem freight and the declaration of cargo value on the bill of lading. Therefore, the freight is paid in accordance with the value of the cargo, in addition to the formula that includes the voyage's running costs and market forces. The declaration of cargo value, ad valorem, on the bill of lading shall be prima facie evidence, but shall not be binding or conclusive on the carrier. In FOB, CFR and CIF contracts, provided the goods conform to the contract of sale, the risk in the goods relating to the contract of carriage passes from the seller to the buyer over the ship's rail at the port of loading. Therefore, it is the buyer who brings a claim against the carrier for damage or loss to the cargo. Under the Hague Visbureaus, a claim is time barred unless suit is brought within 1 year of the cargo delivery or of the date when the cargo should have been delivered. The period may, however, be extended if the parties so agree after the cause of action has arisen. The time bar applies to actions in tort as well as in contract, including reputatory breaches such as wrongful delivery of cargo. The time bar extinguishes the claimant's rights. The Hague Visbureaus render void any attempt to lessen the carrier's liability. However, the reallocation of risk agreement is allowed. Therefore, the loading or discharging of cargo can be shifted from the carrier to the merchant. The Hague Visbureaus do not offer any limitation to liability to a carrier in the event of wrongful delivery. The carrier is strictly liable to the bill of lading holder and will invariably be liable for the full market value of the goods. The maritime risks in a maritime adventure are evenly balanced out between the carrier and merchant. A prudent merchant insures his risks in the carriage of goods against any damage or loss during transit. Marine policies of insurance, such as the Institute Cargo Clauses A, B, and C, provide the merchant with adequate cover depending on the nature of his cargo. The allocation of risk and insurance invariably make international trade viable. Upon settlement of a cargo claim, the insurer, that is the insurance company, so as to speak, is able to recover some of the payment from the carrier under the doctrine of subrogation, as per the Marine Insurance Act 1906. The terms, rights, and conditions of the bill of lading contract, which is subject to the Hague Visbureaus and was a contract between the merchant and the carrier, now gives the insurer the right to claim against the carrier. The carrier tries to defend the recovery claim. However, if the carrier is unsuccessful, he has to pay out the recovery claim in accordance with the limitations of liability available to him in the Hague Visbureaus by virtue of the bill of lading contract. After payment has been made on the recovery claim, the carrier can, in turn look to his P&I club, protection indemnity club, for compensation.